to destroy. The response is to take their rage, take their anger out on things, on other people. And we see a lot of that. America is hurting tonight. This country is in turmoil. People are in turmoil. People's lives. And you know, as I was asking God for a message, this message came to mind actually over a week ago, and I wrote down the title of this message. God impressed me, and I don't remember if it was a Thursday night or a Sunday service, but just this phrase came to mind. And that phrase is the title of my message, which is Nickel and Dime It. Nickel and Dime It. My text is found in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. And it reads like this, if we can all stand for the reading of the word. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, verses 36 and 37 are eternal questions that only you can answer. You may be seated. Let me just pray over the reading of this word. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening, Lord God, for another opportunity to come into your house, Lord, to praise you, to worship you, to expound on your word, Father, to be taught more, Lord, to reach out further and further and deeper and higher unto you, dear God. We thank you, Father, for everything you do, for the liberties, Lord God, for mercy, for grace, for everything you provide your children. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. Nickel and dime it. You know, giving all is giving of yourself. Do we give enough of ourselves to God? Stepping in is stepping through. Many times we just want to take a couple of steps. As I understood, and I heard this from a minister I'm not sure if it was over a year ago, I heard someone say, you know what? A man of God never retires. A minister never retires. Because as long as he's holding the torch of God in his hands, as long as he's holding a beacon of hope or a beacon of light, you can never put it down, church. That light you have in your life, you can never extinguish it. You need to keep stepping through. You need to keep stepping up. We need to keep this walk going. And you know, for some reason, the church in America, and let me just expound on this. I think I know the reason why we're in the situation we're in this country. The rioting, the looting, the cultural problems we have, the racial inequalities, everything, church, to me, points back to the church. At one point, the church stopped praying. The church got into materialism. The church got into, what can I buy? What can I do? What program can I bring? What programs can I attract people with? We try to attract people with programs instead of with evangelism. We try to attract people with these youth programs. Somewhere along the way, we said Royal Rangers isn't good enough. Let's just have youth programs. So we decorated, we built these steel buildings. We decorated them to look like a dance hall. Because it appeals to the young people. It appeals. People are looking for something that appeals to young people to keep them in church. What happened to the appeal of Jesus Christ himself? We built. We designed. We instructed. We went out. We spent money. We did a lot of things to keep people in. We nickel and dimed everything. Because you know what, church? God is not pleased. prophetically, if this is the way it has to happen, Lord, it's because the Church of Jesus Christ at one point decided, I'm going to skip out just for a season. And the enemy decided to skip in and take control. Verse 36 and 37 are eternal questions, like I said. How many tonight would be willing to give it all? How many of you in this church, in this congregation, you don't have to raise your hands, would be willing to give it all up tonight and lay it on this altar? How many would be willing to put your whole checking account, your savings account, lay it on this altar? If Abraham did so with Isaac, and Pastor mentioned that this morning, if he was willing to do that, a life, money is materialism. Yeah, it pays the bills, allows us to eat, but how many would be willing to put their checkbook on the altar tonight? How many would be willing to put their careers on the altar tonight? How many would be willing to do that? You know what the answer is, church? For many of us, it's like, I don't know. God, I really got to think about this. Church, that's not faith. That's nickel and diming God. That's saying, God, your faith isn't strong enough, God, to carry me through. Or rather, I don't have enough confidence in you, Lord, to carry me through. It's nickel and diming it. I was thinking about these things as some of the work that I've done over the years. For years and years, I've dealt with contractors. I've been on both sides. So speaking from experience, I've tried to apply these to a business. And I thought, Lord, I've been on both sides of this. I've bid out, I worked with contractors, and I've been a contractor. So I thought, God, what are you showing me? It's developing what we understand and applying it to the spiritual world. In the business world, the businessman is expected to operate to make a gain. That is called a profit. In the spiritual world, the spiritual man is expected to operate to achieve a gain. That is called evangelism. In the business world, the businessman is expected to work to live. That is called a living. In the spiritual world, the spiritual man is expected to live to work. That is called ministry. In the business world, the businessman is expected to gain in his living. That is called success. In the spiritual world, the spiritual man is expected to lose in his living. That is called salvation. And church, I put these together as God gave me these as I wrote these down. In the business world, the businessman looks for praise from men. That is called a reputation. In the spiritual world, the spiritual man looks to praise his maker. That is called worship. In the business world, one looks to become the owner. In the spiritual world, one looks to become a servant. In the business world, one looks to retire. In the spiritual one looks to regain. Similar principles, church, to our spiritual walk with Almighty God. The question is, where do I succeed? Where do you succeed at? Where do you fit in? Who am I? What part of my life do I devote my heart, my mind, and my soul to? You know, and I was looking at some of these examples, and I was thinking about nickel and diming, because we use that term. I was recently using that term here a couple of months ago. We had and I'll give you an example. We had a contractor that I worked with for years. Couple of years, had a contract, charging us for a lot of heavy construction, energized power lines. There's a lot of things he did that were extra that weren't spelled out specifically in the contract, but they were similar to some of the items that I called out for. There's just those anomalies, those extra things that you don't even think about, you know. Well, during the time that I worked with the contractor, He would never charge me for them. Because out of courtesy, he was saying, I know you guys have treated me correctly. You've treated me good. and I'm going to go ahead and just do them for free. They lose some money, probably lost some money on it, maybe, maybe not. I know what his price was. I know what his profit level was. So was he really losing money? I'd say they made quite a bit. And then things changed. They put someone else in charge of this contractor several months ago. And they started mistreating this contractor. Started questioning the quality of his work after I had already said his quality of work was good. Because there was a love-hate relationship there between the person in charge now and the contractor. So now the contractor started nickel and diming us for every single thing. Even splicing the ground wire. Splicing, doing some very, very basic things, part of a job. Everything now was on the table. Nickel and diming at church. You know, and in the business world, we see that. You know, the person that we hire at times, the person to deal with, if we apply that in the spiritual sense, there are people out there who look to us to see if we are nickel and diming God, if we're taking advantage, if we're just trying to get away with the minimum, taking what we can, taking the gain we can, and telling God, that's good enough for you, Lord. You don't need it all. You know, when I did these contracts, I developed a need. You know, I developed the specifications. I run an estimate so I know what the engineering cost should look like. I developed a reasonable idea of what the profit level should be. I bid it out. I accepted the bids. I selected. I executed the contract, inspected the work, and the work was finally done. I closed out the contracts. But I was always looking out for the person, the hungry contractor who was nickel and diming someone. I know some of you guys do contract work in here. Nickel and diming, that's a strong term. If you get hit with that charge, Brother Jason, that you're nickel and diming someone, that means you may be overcharging. You know, my own example, years and years ago, this is actually before I moved out here. So this is about 13, 14 years ago. Some of you may or may not know, I still have, but I've actually suspended, so I don't have to keep reporting $0 gross income to the state of New Mexico. I have an engineering firm. It's an engineering consulting. I do electrical engineering. And you know, there was a classmate of mine that was doing similar work in the kind of the central part of the state. And I remember we were having a discussion one day, and he was talking about how much he charges, or his new charge, his new rate. So at the time, he asked me, what are you charging an hour? And I think I was telling him, I'm only charging $79 an hour. That was going rate for an electrical engineer. And he said, well, I raised my rates to $200 an hour. I was like an attorney. And he goes, and they're willing to pay for it. So now I had an ethical question. Where do I stand? How many would have just started charging $200 an hour because someone will pay for it? You think about that. Couldn't do it, church. I stayed with what I thought was reasonable and fair. You know, while I won't even call him a competitor because he kind of stayed in his area. Well, he was charging $200 an hour just for an engineer, because he's a licensed engineer like I am, just to be able to put a stamp on a drawing, a seal. It was $200 an hour. Or if it was a set of prints. So one set of prints, church, you know, he could easily make $10,000. But he was nickel and diming. That's unethical, church. I can see my, and maybe that's why God had placed this on my heart many years ago, because, you know, there's a lot of things I consider, a lot of things I look at. And I'm not putting anything on myself. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just basing it on experience. Nickel and diming. Give you one more example. And this really is actually a pretty funny one. I was contracted to go and teach electrical utility at the Navajo Tribal Nation, the NTUA, Navajo Tribal Utility Association. Their engineering department needed somebody to come and teach underground. Underground distribution, high voltage. And they need someone to come and teach. So I went in, I bid the job. I said I took vacation from work. I went for 2 weeks. And I had to come up with a number. How much should I charge? So I'm back to the old, okay, it should only be this amount. I'm going to charge them because I still got to pay for a hotel. I got to drive out there. I had all the basic stuff down. I didn't even throw a profit. I just based it on an hourly charge. You know, church, and when I was done, I remember the CEO came up to me, and he goes, you know, I want to thank you for taking the time and teaching us. You guys were so, your price was so good for 2 weeks. This was really great. And I thought, well, I enjoyed it. I mean, I had to develop booklets for them in order to understand what I was teaching. Didn't think it was a big deal. And so he says, you know, I'm going to cut you a check. And for 2 weeks of teaching, I think it was $24,000, which was like, wow, man, I don't have to do anything the rest of my life. I can just do that. But it was based on hourly rate. That was the only way I could come up with a per unit cost. And I thought, wow, I even thought that was too high, church. So as he's giving me my paperwork and cutting me the check, and I'm like, wow, this is great. I think I can do this. That was just only a once-in-a-lifetime, church, because I never did it again. As I'm leaving, he goes, you know, the next lowest bidder was $80,000. I sat there and I thought, if I would have nickel and dimed this thing, boy, this would have been really great. But you know, church, God teaches us ethics and morals because you know what? The way we work in the business world is the way we work with God. Is the way we treat God's kingdom. Do we nickel and dime it? You know, and I say that not to brag or to pat myself on the back, but those are the examples I dealt with. I remember I was thinking, you know, you could kick yourself and think, wow, I was 25% of the second lowest because I think the next person charged $110,000 for 2 weeks worth of teaching. And I thought, well, God, I think I'm worth something. The opportunity never came back again, but hey, you know, you can kind of put that all off to the side and say that was something I did, that was something I experienced. But you know what? God taught me a lesson in that about ethics, about integrity. Because church, you may never get called back, but someone's going to remember you gave us quality without nickel and diming us. It's about nickel and diming. And what is God asking? God is asking for 100%. God is asking for quality, not to nickel and diming in his kingdom. What's nickel and diming? You know, the person who plots and plans how to get a contract or how to qualify to take in more by whatever means. In the world of business, it's called taking advantage. A nickel is a 5-cent coin. And we think a nickel is supposed to be something solid. You know, a nickel and a dime, they're both 75% copper and 25% nickel. So it's a combination of metals. It's not pure. How many have gold at home? Now don't raise your hands. How many have gold teeth? How many have a gold filling? You got some value walking around. When they put that gold filling in there, I'm sure they can stick a little bit of lead in there. How many remember the days of the Wrigley, the gum, the aluminum foil, and you were... If you were silly enough, you stuck that aluminum foil in your mouth and you bit down on it on a filling. Remember that feeling of that chemical reaction? You guys, some of us remember that because we would all do it. And as a matter of fact, it even hurts my teeth to think about it. Because you know what? That was the worst feeling. Juicy Fruit, Spearmint, Double Mint. Remember those gums? Mr. Floral, remember those? Oh, never chewed that. That was before your time? That was before her time. Okay. Now, Pastor, you may remember that. We all remember that, you know. And back then, the products were a little bit different. Back then, we were different. God made us. God changed us. God developed us. God says you need to be different. Your ethics, your integrity, your morals, how you treat everything. You know, church, God is expecting us to give him 100%. Not 75% of something and 25% of something else. God wants 100%. Just like a nickel, just like a dime. God is wanting to give us more if we give Him back more. And you know what? Because it's generally, God doesn't need everything, Lord Church. He just needs you. But generally, we get tested. I believe God tests us to see, just how much are you going to give me back? We won't even get into tithing or offerings. There's an expectation that you already know what's right. Tithing. I've heard people are still, there's still commentaries on, even on Christian radio stations, people still explaining tithing. And I'm thinking, I hope that's for new converts and that's not for existing Christians, because that would be a shame, church. If we're still explaining to Christians what 10% means, if we're still having to explain to church, we've got problems. I've heard every argument from, well, I pay my tithes after taxes. I pay my tithes when I get my return at the end of the year. I've heard everything. And I'm thinking, what did you earn? What did you gross out? What was your gross? And what was your net? Well, I pay on my net. Why? You let the government take their portion before you nickel and dime God and say, God, you get some of it, but your value has been reduced. You think about that, church. It's a concept. God is always looking out for us. And many times we're not looking out for Him because we're trying to see how far we can push this. Nickel and diming it. You know, I was thinking about this example of, it's called business ethics. And I had an example years ago, and this was happening at a job site. There was an individual that worked with my father-in-law. And this gentleman would go to the job site every day. And that was back then before they had air hammers, Brother Lucas. You know, they actually used a hammer back then, not a compressor. And you know that this man would come into work every morning, an empty pouch, tool bags, you know, his hammer, empty tool bag, ready to start the day. They start working. At the end of the day, he'd fill up his pouch with nails. And he'd go home. Then he'd say he'd come back with his tools and his nail pouch is empty. So essentially what he was doing was taking nails home every evening, just emptying out the box. And I think you remember, Pastor, the nails would come in those big, heavy-duty cardboard boxes. I mean, it was a ton of penny nails in there. I mean, that's just the way you bought them. You talk about, and that example's always stuck with me, because when my wife and I and my father-in-law started building our house, I remember we'd always talk about that. Because back then, you knew what you paid for every nail. Every 2x4. If you cut it wrong, you knew you paid for it. You know, piece of plywood. You know, as I think about how we don't even consider value anymore. You know, when you build a house, how much scrap material is left over. I remember my wife would stack all the sheetrock that we had used for our house after we had hung sheetrock throughout the whole house. And her and her sister went and put it all in the pile so we can get rid of it. And basically made it look just like a four by eight sheet of sheetrock, and it probably stood that high. And it looked like an exact new pile. We put it on pallets. It looked like a brand new pile of sheetrock, but it was this high. Because you don't realize how much scrap you toss away. What about the things of God? How much stuff do we throw away, or we never let God see in our lives? Many times we get that extra material and we toss it because, you know what, I didn't pay for it. Someone else is going to pay for it. But in God's kingdom, God is wanting every part of you. Even that scrap that we consider scrap is the brokenness part of you. It's the hurts. It's the desires. It's the dreams. It's a thing that God is wanting to work with you and work for you, and the things He wants to do in your life. But God is saying, are you willing to take it all and put it on this wooden altar? Are we willing to lay it down? Nickel and diming God. Because at one point in our lives, church, I believe we've all done it. We've shortened God. It's like giving change back. We haven't given God all the correct change. God is wanting every part of us. Because in order for God to move, He needs people that are willing to move with 100%. Totally focused in mind, in body, in attitude, in atmosphere, in every part of your life, God is wanting to go forward. Now we talk about being raised in the house of God, church. You know my history. You know, I was basically started out as a little Catholic boy. And until my parents split up, getting ready to get divorced. And my mom started attending a Pentecostal church back in 1972. So here comes Mama with a baby and three little boys that she dedicated to the Lord back in 1973. And you know, church, from then till now, it hasn't been easy. How many times during that time growing up did I nickel and dime God? How many times did I just say, God, I'll give you some of me, but not all of me? Those rough teenage years, public school, dealing with all the peer pressure, friends. You know, the same friends I have in, the friends I have now aren't the same ones I had in high school. Because it's true, church, you know what? You're going to have to leave them behind. Because unless you're stronger in your faith and you can teach them about Jesus Christ, they're going to drag you back into the world. You know, you think about that. Those opportunities. An article was written by Jack Smith, which is, this is kind of humorous, but it's actually kind of, it's kind of insulting for some of those that were are taxpayers back in the early 80s. This is written by a man. This is an older article written in 1986. And this was interesting. He's talking about nickel and diming. He puts, a division of Litton Industries and two of its former executives are accused of defrauding the government out of $6.3 million on military contracts. According to the U.S. attorney, the company grossly inflated prices intentionally, and this is in quotes, on about 45 contracts from 1975 to 1984. Well, I started really working about 1978, so I think I was a taxpayer back then. It talks about how much money was spent. A handy book for any taxpayer is the Pentagon Catalog. It's actually a book which describes and shows diagrams of numerous pieces of military hardware that these two authors describe as ordinary products at extraordinary prices. Items in this catalog include a $285 screwdriver, a $7,622 coffee maker, a $387 flat washer, a $469 wrench, a $214 flashlight, a $437 tape measure, a $2,228 monkey wrench, a $748 pair of duckbill pliers, a $74,165 aluminum ladder. There you go, Brother Lucas, throw it in the back of your truck. A $659 ashtray, not that. And a $240 million airplane. Someone took someone for a ride. But you talk about these things that went on back then, and now I think they're a little bit more, we watch these things a little bit closer. I hope we are. But church, are we watching our testimony with God? Are we nickel and diming our testimony? Let's apply this reasoning to a spiritual man. Mark 8:34-37, which is my text. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God had a threefold plan for us, church. You got to deny yourself, you got to take up your cross, and you got to follow him. Such a simple step. You know, the AA group, they have all these steps for people that are recovering from alcoholism. And God has given us something as basic as three steps to solve your problems. How many still believe God can solve our problems tonight? Do we really believe it, church? If you do, then how much are you willing to put on this altar? When was the last time you actually knelt down and said, God, here's all of me, not just part of me. Here's my problem tonight. Here's some of the things I'm bringing to this altar, God, but here's everything. How many times have we done that? Or should I say, when was the last time we did that? God, here's my finances. God, here's my career. God, here's the situation. Or maybe it's, God, here is all of me. This is everything I am, God. This is all I can offer you. I'm a broken vessel, Lord. I have cracks. The weather, I've been weathered by the storms of life. I'm not perfect. I don't have that gloss anymore. I have chips. I've got dings. God, this is the best I can offer you. And you know what God says? I'll take it. Because I can repair the dings. I can smooth it over. I can give you a shine. I can fill your vessel. I can stop the leaks. I can stop the hurts. I can stop the tears. I can take your sorrows and remove them. Everything that you had to deal with, I can take them. I'll take them. I'll take you as a vessel, and I'll make it all right. But God is saying, I need all of you. Church, we're in the last days. We are in those last hours. The trumpet's going to sound soon. You know, here we hear the things politically about the election that are, even if our president wins again, this country is not going to settle down. They're still going to be rioting and looting because it's become a way of expressing your anger. And I know sometimes I pick on millennials, but you know, this idea that somebody owes you something is wrong. You owe something to God. And have we given it all to God? God is looking for people that are willing to step up at this time, at this place. Are we willing to give it all up? Someone took someone for a ride with these pricing, you know. God has a three-fold plan for us. John Wesley wrote these notes for Mark 8:34, and it reads as follows. And when he called the people to hear a truth of the last importance and one that equally concerned them all, let him deny himself his own will in all things small and great, however pleasing, and that continually, and take up his cross, embrace the will of God, however painful, daily, hourly, continually. Embrace the will of God. How many know what the will of God is for your life? How many really know what the will of God is for your life? By the show of hands? No, there's one, there's two. Okay. That was more of not so much a rhetorical question, but I was hoping I'd get some hands up. Because I just got, actually, Brother Lucas, a little raise his hand. I thought, okay, Brother Lucas, I think, well, you just started preaching to begin with. Maybe you need to finish this up. What is the will of God for your life? What is God wanting in your life? First, we start by giving him everything in order to get closer. God is expecting us to draw a little bit closer in these days, church. It's reasoning. God is wanting more of a spiritual man than a man of flesh. He's wanting a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. God is showing us a lot in these days. There's a lot of things that are going to happen, church. Are we planning? There's an expectation that God, it has so many things in store for his children. This country is looking not for a knight in shining armor. This country is looking for someone that's reasonable, that knows God. Can God count on us? There's a lot of people out there, church, that are hungry. A lot of hungry people are looking for something that's solid, something that makes sense. You know, we talk to the Rangers, you know, we've talked to them before. What if? And even as adults, we cringe. Okay, brother, you've been a man of God for 25 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, you serve God. There's a child dying in that next room. You go pray for him and see if you can, through the power of God and your prayers, let's say that child is you. How many of us would cringe at the thought? Walking into a funeral home and laying hands on a sick child, on a dead child, and saying, arise. How many of us would cringe at having to do that? What is the will of God? We all cringe at that. You know why? Because our flesh says it's not possible. And the enemy comes along and says it's impossible. And your doubts creep in and fear creeps in, and it tells you your God is not relevant. in this day and age. But church, I'm here to tell you God is more relevant than anything else. The God who hangs this earth, it hangs up there without strings, without a cable. How does the earth stay suspended? Well, we got gravity. Who came up with gravity? We got the stars. Who hung the stars up in the sky? Who gave every star a name? Everything that we take for granted. I think Grant said, Grant, you got to give God thanks for every day, even the days that you're hurting. And I was going to correct you on that, but I think I'll just do it up here. But because it applies to all of us. Even the days that are bad, we got to say thank you, Lord. Because you still got up, you stood up, you're not crippled, you're walking. God is still giving you a mind and a heart. What does God need? He needs your heart and your mind. You may be missing a finger. You may be missing a hand. God says, I start with the heart and the mind of man. Everything else will come through. God is a God of the impossible, church. And today, God is saying, I don't need you to nickel and dime your service to me. I want 100% commitment. You know, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, as I'm drawing to a close on some of this, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. And we all know the story. And I'll read through it briefly here. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how was it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. This is a space of 3 hours. That's a quick burial. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Nickel and diming the Spirit of God. You know, if you talk about an example of nickel and diming God, there you go. And this is what happens. You know, that was a pretty quick funeral. Those young men, you know, grab his body, Ananias, and said, let's take him out, bury him. And they come back into the church service. Oh, by the way, there's another body. That's his wife. Hopefully it stops there. For too long, God has been getting the leftovers, church. Not necessarily tithing and offering, but us. God doesn't need your money, church. He needs your loyalty. He needs your commitment. He needs to know if you're honest enough with yourself. Nickel and diming it. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel is the same shall save it. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, this is the only time that capitalism does not work. This is the only time the business model does not work. This is the only time profit means loss. You cannot cheat God. Verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, Samson, for his flesh, lost his way. Esau, for his hunger, lost his right. King Solomon, for his lust, lost his wisdom. Saul, for turning his back on God. Judas Iscariot, for the love of money. Demons, for the love of the world. How far are we willing to go? How far are we willing to reach? How deep are you willing to trust? You know, and I thought about this. We all huddle around Facebook. We get our inspiration from someone's writings on Facebook. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. Good conversation. How come we don't get enough of that inspiration for the Word of God? You know, I was thinking to myself, You know what you don't see anymore, and I'll probably get a lot of grief over this, is how many people walk in with the Word of God in their hands. I'm talking the written, printed Bible. You know, we have it on media. We do, and that's not a problem, church. But how many of these are unused at home? Yet there's whole countries that are hungry just for a couple of these pages, and they sit at home. You know, church, and I was thinking, when I was growing up, yeah, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I remember we used to get a lot of grief if we didn't take our Bibles to church. On Friday, I got to work, and I opened my drawer, and I pulled out my Bible. I have a Bible at work, and it's dated 1973. That was the very first Bible I received. It's in a little vinyl case, a little vinyl zipper. It's still, you know, it's kind of a, it was one of those Bibles that was given to me by a man at church. I remember, I think they paid $2 or $3 for it. My brother and I got matching Bibles. I got a black cover, he got a green cover. And I still have it. And I was going through it, and I just sat there, and I was mesmerized by the fact that that was one of the first Bibles I read cover to cover. And back then, I used to use a highlighter, and it had stuff highlighted all over that. That little Bible has sat in my drawer, and I've kept it there because I said I want a Bible at work. And I thought, Lord, I read your word from cover to cover, and I was taught to keep this always handy, to keep it around. But God, I kept it in a drawer in case I needed it. God, I nickel and dimed you. God, I didn't take advantage of what you have for me. I took advantage of what I didn't want to do. We nickel and dime God. I go through and I read through it and I think, wow, there's a lot of stuff marked up in here in that old Bible. And, you know, it kind of brings back a lot of memories. But God is saying, in all of your readings, did you apply any of those principles? How much of that do you consider to be true? Church, it's a lot truer now than it was back then for me. Because as we get older, as we get wiser, we set our understanding. It's not about when I was a child, oh, here we go, church, Sunday night again. Because you got to remember, church, I was brought up in a Catholic home. And we didn't have church Sunday night. So when they told us it was time for Sunday service, Sunday evening, it was like, oh, no, what's that? Come in, boys, stop playing. Do we have to go? We look for every excuse not to go to a church. We didn't understand. And now you think many churches are closing their doors. Because they don't need Sunday night service. They're nickel and diming God and telling God, you really don't need to give you that much attention, Lord, because family is important. But the nucleus of the family is the center of it, what creates the fusion, what creates the reaction, the nuclear reaction is Almighty God in the center of it. That is the core of the family, Almighty God. Now, I want to conclude with this thought. Jeffrey Benward and his son Aaron, they were a duo. They were called Aaron Jeffrey, and maybe some of you may or may not know them. They were a father-son duet. They sang, they composed some songs, they sang a couple of songs. And I was listening to the song yesterday, and actually, these words really, really touched me. And I'm going to go through this song, and that's how I'll finish it up. But I want you to listen to these words. And many of you will recognize these words because they're part of a song. In Genesis, he's the breath of life. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's Moses' voice. In Joshua, he's salvation's choice. In Judges, he's the lawgiver. In Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's sovereign. Ezra, he's true and a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and lives. In Esther, he's Mordecai's courage. In Job, he's a timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he's our morning song. In Proverbs, he's wisdom's cry. In Ecclesiastes, he's the time and season. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the cry for Israel. Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is forever faithful. In Joel, he's the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us. In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, he's the promise of peace. In Nahum, he's our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's pleading for revival. In Haggai, he restores the lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God, man, Messiah. In the book of Acts, he is the fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. In Corinthians, the power of love. In Galatians, he's freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's the Godhead Trinity. Thessalonians, he's our coming king. In Timothy, Titus, Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the everlasting covenant. In James, the one who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is our shepherd. In John and Jude, he's a lover coming for his bride. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Great I Am. He's the Alpha, the Omega, our God and our Savior. He's Jesus Christ, the Lord. Throughout history, church, God has never nickel and dimed you. We should not nickel and dime God. In the beginning, God. En el principio, Dios. God has always been. God will always be. God is who he said he was and is and will be. Who is God? God is not the God that we nickel and dime. God is the God that we serve with everything we got. Church, tonight these altars represent a place where we can sanctify, where we can leave burdens. But many times, it's not the burdens we want to leave, church. It's our lives. Are we willing to give our lives to Jesus Christ tonight? Well, Brother Larry, I'm saved. I gave my life to the Lord. No, you gave him your life back then. But now that you've matured, that you're more of a mature Christian, are you willing to give even more of yourself? Well, I've given all I got. I serve in the church. That's not what I'm asking. Are you willing to give it all till God directs you in your life? There's young people in this church. Young boys, young girls. I'm sure they'll be looking for direction someday. You know what's going to happen to you all? You're going to be distracted. The enemy's going to come in and distract you. You young girls, they'll be distracted by this prince that comes in on a white horse. Sometimes that horse is crippled. I'm sorry, but that horse won't go very far. You young boys, she'll come in and give you the greatest smile, distract you. I'm going to tell you, she's going to be missing her teeth. Because you know what? Nothing compares to Almighty God. Seek God first. Don't nickel and dime God. Don't take back. Don't give God your change. Give it all to God tonight, church. It's an opportunity. Matthew 10:39 reads, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." We can get somebody up to the piano. Are we willing to give it all to God? Or do we want a nickel and dime tonight? Church, I can raise my hand and say I've been guilty of that. Because for too long, I've wanted to focus on what I want to do, on my interests, my hobbies, my desires, my dreams. Many of you have dreams. Many of us want to be empire builders. You know, church, I had a dream one time. I want to have one of the biggest engineering companies. Cover a couple of states. I'm licensed in 3 states. Have one of the biggest engineering firms. I look at where I'm at now and think, you know, God, that wasn't meant to be. Because God gives us a reality check and says, no matter what your dreams are, that's nickel and dime stuff. I need all of you. The time is short. I'm looking for a servant's heart. How many have a servant's heart tonight? Look inside and say, God, for too long, I've neglected everything you've given me. I've taken advantage, God. There's been broken people around me that I walked right by, Lord. The person that needed someone to reach out and hold their hand for a season, I walked by. The person that needed a prayer, I was too busy. That individual that in my life, that family member that maybe needed a word of encouragement rather than a word of discouragement. A word of praise rather than rebuke. At church, we've done that. We're all guilty of that. Because the flesh, well, you know, it wells up inside of us and we get angry and we say things we shouldn't say. And we start being judgmental. We should be judging ourselves and saying, God, it starts with me. God is saying, I don't need your nickel and dimes. I need all of you. Can you give it all to me tonight? People's lives hang in the balance. Well, God, I know, Lord, there's people out there that need prayer, they need salvation. Lord, family members, let's keep praying for them. And God, you do the work. I think many times God is on his throne and watches us and says, when are you going to give me 100%? Because the work I need to do is through you. And it's not nickel and diming stuff. It's 100% commitment. I always go back to this example, church. Timothy, Isaac, and Lydia, their mom. How these children, for years, have asked for that same prayer for their mom. Never holding back. Not a nickel and dime thing, but saying, God, save my mother. God, get her out of this pit. How many times are we, as the rest of the body of Jesus Christ, taking that up in prayer? How many times have we spent the time to say, as we're driving there around, oh, by the way, Lord, you brought this woman needs you, God. She needs her heart to be torn out of her, replaced with your heart, God. She needs to know that her children, there's three heartbeats that are beating, Lord, calling out to you. And is God saying, the rest of you church, you've nickel and dimed this whole thing. Because if I had one more person praying in that church, and that person is you. And I feel, God, if I'm the reason, God, that she's not saved, because I've nickel and dimed you with my time, then Jesus Christ, I am sorry, I repent of that. But God, as a body of believers, if we get a hold of Almighty God, God would say, now I believe you're nickel and diming me. Now I can grasp that you are committed to seeing this woman come to the cross. No matter what she's been through, she's broken. Broken pieces. Shards of a life. Many times because of our own choices. There's a lot of those people in our lives, church. How many are willing to give 100%? You think about that. God, I could only give you 90 right now, God. Just like that nickel and that dime, I can only give you 75%. Some of it's nickel, some of it's copper, God. I can only give you so much. God is saying, I want all of you. You're worth more to me than gold. I want all of you. 100% of you is gold. I want all of you. God, I can only give you so much. Young people, you're the future of the church. Someday, some of us, older generation, will pass. Some of us will just be memories. There'll be recordings of sermons, of songs, of things that were said, of encouragement, words of wisdom. And that flame is going to be passed on to you. The importance of Royal Rangers is someday we see young boys that are going to rise up and say, we will not take this anymore, devil. We will not let you destroy any more lives. But God says to the generation now, we all need to stop nickel and diming God. It's time to give it all to Him, church, tonight. If we can all stand. And tonight, church, I know that there's a celebration afterwards. But think of a celebration in heaven when Lydia's mom, Timmy Isaac's mom, goes home to Jesus Christ. Think of the celebration in heaven, that relative you're thinking about, those people you've been praying for. Think of that celebration tonight and saying, God, I don't want to do nickel and dimes anymore, God. I don't want nickel and dime you. Take advantage and take from you, Lord, and see how much I can gain for myself, because that's what nickel and diming does, church. It teaches you how you can nickel and dime somebody and take advantage. You take. God is saying, I don't want you to take. I want you to give. It is time to give back to God as much as you can. No, all of you. You know, church, pastor's not getting any younger. A lot of the people in this church aren't getting any younger. Someday someone's going to have to carry the mantle. Someone's going to have to carry the torch. Someone's going to have to keep the light lit in the temple of Almighty God. We ask, church, tonight, ourselves, are we willing? I think most of the church would say, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to give it all tonight, Lord. It's that important. If that's important to you, it should be important to the rest of the church. Church, let's find a place to pray. Let's give God everything. Not nickel and diming, but let's give Him 100% of ourselves, church. It's that critical. Father God, thank you, Lord. I ask you to finish this message in our hearts at this time in the altar, God. I ask you to completely finish this message in our hearts, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done, Jesus. Let us never walk away, Lord God, knowing we didn't give you everything we can, Lord. But God, we give it our all to you, Jesus. Help us, dear God, as we face tomorrow, as we face these giants, as we face these mountains, as we go through these valleys. Almighty God, we ask you, Father, that along those valleys, God, that there be fruit, Lord, that there be nourishment, Father, to keep us going, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. We worship and praise you, Father, tonight. We recommit, God. We ask you, dear God, to forgive us, Lord, for giving you little when you ask much, Lord. And many times, God, you ask for little that we didn't give anything, God. Jesus, thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Almighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen.